News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. In moments, we'll chat with Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com. Meanwhile, a jubilee has been confirmed by video by Dalton.
Yeah, confirmed by me. No video by me. Thank you to Michael for sending that over.
He sent you the video.
And Leanna has found some as well. So, yeah, looks like Jubilee in Fairhope began at 7 o'clock this morning. That's always very exciting. And Squirrel Vereen said that the Fairhope Pier did look a little busier than usual at this time of morning. So that was going on this morning. Also, at the end of the last hour, mentioned the news from the American Heart Association, which cups of coffee and glasses of wine. Those are ever changing how many of those you're allowed to drink, right? If you listen to the authorities, they'll say, well, one beer or glass of wine a day is perfectly fine. And then seems like the next administration, they say, if you have one beer a day, you're definitely going to die, like yesterday.
Look, let's talk. Let's get the word from the Irish Parliament.
Yeah.
See what they say.
So now the American Heart Association for caffeine intake says 3 to 5 cups of coffee a day is actually good for your heart. I mentioned that we probably have listeners that drink a lot more than that. I know I do drink a lot more caffeine than that on average. And I try to cut back, especially later in the day, but I have a lot to do. And I was thinking of Mike Vrabel and some of these football head coaches.
Yeah.
I think his order alone from Starbucks that he gets, like, to start his day is over 1,000 milligrams of caffeine,
wow,
which seems incredibly dangerous.
Dangerous. Yeah, and so I think, tell me if I'm wrong here, so in this Red Bull, and I'm guilty of that, y'all, so.
But you're sponsored. What are you going to do? Red Bull. You're a sponsored Red Bull athlete.
I've got it all on all my clothing and all my hiking clothing. But this, I think that those little little
5-hour energies.
Yeah, the 5-hour energies actually juice me up more than this does. Is that possible?
It may be. I don't know how much caffeine's in the little 5-hour energies or express energies or whatever off-brand there may be out there. I know the Red Bull is relatively tame compared to the energy drink world, like C4, which I think has 300 milligrams in each can.
This has got like 100?
That has about 112 from what I read earlier. Fire Dog said, I drink one cup of tea in the morning. If I have tea at any other point in the day, it's decaf. I think Dan should drink 3 Red Bulls and see if he can break his 3.6-mile-an-hour record. He's talking hiking trail records here. Yeah. He said he might actually be running. I saw a video of Dan from this weekend out on the trail. It's south? Is that? No,
yeah,
it's south. You were at a healthy trot. Some would say a good jog.
Yeah, so I will hike. This is a new trend that I've got going. You're hiking at a normal, you know, hike pace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of getting it a little bit, but you're just
standard hiking pace. Yeah.
Standard hiking pace, you know.
SHP.
And then when I get to a hill, sprint up that thing.
Yeah.
Like a little Brock Bowers.
Yeah, you become off-season Derrick Henry when
Derrick
you see
Henry.
A hill.
Absolutely. That's what I do.
Earl says, 2 cups of coffee in the morning. I used to work with people that had a cup of coffee in one hand and a cigarette in the other all day. Yeah, and that's been over the years, a pretty consistent pairing, right?
Yeah.
Coffee and cigarette.
Yeah.
Randy says, when you drink 5 or more cups of coffee, it gives you the nervous energy, which puts you on the move more, especially to the bathroom. Hence, more cardiac steps you get in and more exercise to ward off type 2 diabetes.
More steps.
It's all coming together now, Randy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Guys, I drink a half a bottle of 5-hour energy each day, not just for caffeine, but for B12. It keeps you sharper, but caffeine really isn't good for you. This is from Angry Patriot. Said studies on mice have found it causes brain rewiring, a.k.a. ADHD and abnormal signaling to the heart. Know before you consume. So that's from the mice they studied. But remember, all those mice have severe cocaine addictions as well. So I don't know if we can trust them. But he said 230 milligrams in 5-hour energies. So an answer there. Steve said
230?
Yeah, in one of those little. So that explains for you.
Yeah, it does explain.
Steve said the problem with Red Bull and coffee is the sugar. Bring black coffee. Yeah, I drink zero sugar energy drinks and black coffee with little else inside. And finally, here we'll get to Quinn right after this. Kenny says, Death Wish coffee has 800 milligrams per cup, bacon wrapped. And I don't know if that's the flavor of Death Wish coffee, bacon wrapped or what. Oh, no, you're okay. We're going name Bacon Wrap. That's right. So Death Wish Coffee, how about that? 800 milligrams of caffeine in one of those. That's a whole lot of caffeine.
Truth in advertising.
I guess so,
They're not hiding the fact that it could kill you.
I don't know if Quinn Hillier is a caffeine guy or not, but he joins us on the phone this morning. Hey, Quinn, sorry we had to pay off the caffeine conversation.
Well, that's okay. Of course, all anybody needs to do to wake up and stay up all day is just listen to you guys every morning.
That's
an eye opener. So there you go.
There you go, man.
Eye opener for sure. But the caffeine.
Well, yesterday. Yeah, we were talking nude beaches, so we've kind of tamped it down today.
A little bit today. But the caffeine talk is real. Our listeners are alert and ready to hear what you have to say this morning. Quinn from NOLA.com writes for The Advocate and, of course, QuinnHillier.com. And, well, even since we've last spoken a week ago, the strikes continue and the war in Iran continues as well. The latest on this, a 10th night of strikes yesterday, and Iran doesn't appear to be folding at all on these negotiations. What are you seeing from your point of view, Quinn?
Look, it's tough to tell because you got a president who's all in, and then he's all in on firing, and then all in on negotiations, and then all in on firing, and then all in on negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
You've got reports that Hegseth, the defense secretary, has been hiding news of American casualties or damage to our bases, so it's tough to know what to believe. But what I do know is that we're the good guys, they're the bad guys, and that they don't negotiate in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
So one way or another, we've got to beat them, not just talk to them.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if beating Iran into submission is the way that most people think that we'd go about this possible at this point without really widespread damage to a lot of citizens of Iran who aren't the government. And of course, that would bring on a host of other issues if we're just bombing. You know, we hit a school very early on in this campaign, and that was big news. So, you know, with all of this buried underground, seemingly never-ending supply of ballistic missiles, how do we go about this without boots on the ground or losing at the negotiation table?
That I don't know because I'm not in the defense meetings, but it's something that that the president and his cabinet should have thought of before they went in. Look, the fact that we can't keep the Strait of Hormuz open is not very good, to say the least. I mean, the Strait of Hormuz was open before we started the war. It's always been open. So we've got to figure out how to stop, you know, whatever they're doing to try to blockade the Strait of Hormuz. Surely our Navy and our technology should be able to keep that sucker open. And meanwhile, every time that a missile comes, we should have the technology to see where it's coming from and immediately bomb that spot.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Senator Tuberville came out. Now, I don't know if he was answering a question necessarily or simply making a statement, so I'm not quite sure of the context. We were talking about that this morning, Dalton and
I. It was during that weekly call he has with reporters, I believe, where he was mentioning the potential of boots on the ground,
boots on the ground, Karg Island. Tuberville suggested American ground forces could potentially seize Karg Island. That's the terminal responsible for handling most of Iran's crude oil exports. He said you could do that rather than destroy its infrastructure. What do you think about that thought?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know where that island is. Look, somehow our military planners should have all of these options on the table. They should have had all these options on the table before we even started this thing. They should have been able to game out this whole thing. And it's looking to me like they haven't. Mm-hmm. And that's what is very worrisome, even though your listeners will know from the very start, I supported the idea of this operation, but I said even from the very start, assuming they've got a game planned out.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen the game plan.
Now the final results always fall with the quarterback and the coach, right? And the final results when U.S. military action is involved should theoretically lie with the president in most cases. But a lot of people are saying that Israel dragged the United States into this war and maybe made Trump feel a little overconfident in the ability to end the Iranian threat and end it quickly. I mean, within the 4 weeks that he said it would happen. But I know you've been writing about Israel and its role in the war. And Israel has taken a whole lot of flack, of course, from a lot of people in the country. Now, whether all of that is warranted, I don't think so. Some people go way over the top. But,
well, it's your opportunity to just flat out publicly hate Israel.
But it also seems at the same time there's at least a very healthy skepticism of what Israel is telling America. That's more widespread than it's ever been. What are your thoughts on what Israel needs from us now and where we are kind of diverging now on what Israel wants and needs and what America wants and needs?
I don't think there should be much divergence. But I also think it's absurd to think that the Israeli tail is wagging the American dog. We are plenty big enough and plenty strong enough to make our own decisions. I don't think we were tricked into it or anything like that. I think our interests happened to converge, as they often do. But to blame Israel for anything that's going wrong on our end, I think is crazy. Look, I wrote two things. I didn't know I was going to write two things last week on Israel because the first one, I was responding to something in the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. And it makes a really important point. So Rahm Emanuel, you know, the big Democratic honcho, he's probably running for president, trying to pretend to be a moderate, but he went over and he made this speech about Israel castigating the Israeli government. And then he wrote about it in the journal. And I noted that he contradicted himself in from one paragraph to the next, and he didn't even realize he did it. He wrote that Netanyahu of Israel has left his country, quote, diplomatically isolated. Then in the very next paragraph he said, quote, the wider Arab world has become increasingly eager to make peace with Israel. So, which is it? Mm-hmm. Are they isolated, or are they actually having great or better relations than they've ever had with the wider Arab world, which actually wants peace with them? It can't be both of them, and the second is actually the truth. And that's what people miss. Everybody's jumping all over Netanyahu. Look, I was there in 2014. I had some high-level briefings. We were supposed to meet with Netanyahu himself, but then Hamas started firing missiles again, and he had to go to his command center. But in 2014, they described to us what was basically the Abraham Accords, and they said the only reason we can't make this official is because Obama keeps getting in the way. He does not want these accords between Israel and all these other nations until we solve the Palestinian problem. Mm-hmm. But Netanyahu, that long ago, had actually established better diplomatic relations with the whole Arab world, except for basically the Palestinian terrorists and Iran, better diplomatic relations than any Israeli government before. And then he actually did get the accords, and he's got informal, at least, you know, semi-agreements with lots of other countries like Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. et cetera. Mm-hmm. Israel is actually closer to peace in the wider Middle East than we've ever had before, if we can finally solve this Iran problem.
You know, you're right. And with those countries, and I know Trump wants to expand the Abraham Accords. He really seems to want that to be a lasting legacy of his. But it seems like a lot of these countries in the Middle East, they want, you know, the economic peace. They want to be able to get rich together. But when it comes to actually backing that up with military action, now we've seen some help, and they allow us to host soldiers at their bases. But really,
they're better than Europe.
Kind of brings me to the overall question about Europe. I mean, every country wants peace. What's your take on whether some of the allies in NATO, whether they're carrying their weight? Because that's been a major theme of Trump's since this war restarted, was that, hey, you're not really helping out much at all in this with this Iran situation.
Well, they're not, but then again, we didn't consult with them. We didn't ask any of their advice. we did this on our own, and we haven't exactly been friendly to NATO under this administration. And NATO is also much more worried about Russia, about not just Ukraine, but Russia making noises against the Baltic countries, especially Estonia, and even making noises against Poland. So they're worried about their homeland, and they figure if Trump, you know, is going to diss them, then, you know, why should they be out front? Now, should they be doing a little more? Yes, I was just explaining why they're not.
Yeah.
But they do have legitimate concerns about Russia.
NATO is also, they're concerned about the changing populations within the countries of NATO and the opinions of those people. As they move forward, they're acting less European and more whatever you want to call it.
Globalist.
That is true. And look, I'm not saying that Europe is led by a whole bunch of great leaders, although they do have some. But they've got some bad policies they got to fix, and they're not as good as they used to be. But this isn't necessarily their foremost battle. It really isn't.
All right.
Well, I think the new Prime Minister of the UK, Andy Burnham, is going to fix all of that.
Oh yeah,
fix it quickly.
He's a go getter right there.
8:23. We'll wrap up our conversation with Quinn Hillier on the way next.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton and Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, 826. A week ago, you were not crazy about the idea of Lindsey Graham's sister,
Darlene.
Replacing him, and now it's taken a new twist, huh?
Well, yeah. So when she accepted the appointment, she reportedly told the governor who was appointing her that she would be just filling in her late brother's term, but would not be running for another full six-year term. So now she's been in office for all of 8 days, and she turns around and she says, oh, I'm going to run for it after all. Look, she's got no record. She's got no history other than making speeches on her brother's behalf when he's campaigning, and, you know, the speeches were not policy. They're, oh, let me tell you about growing up with my wonderful brother. Look, this is not, this country was not founded on the idea of family dynasties or of nepotism. And I think that it's a bad way to go. I've been writing columns for 20 years against nepotism. I was not for the idea of having one Bush and then another Bush and then a third Bush and then a fourth Bush. I was, you know, I don't like the Kennedy dynasty. I don't like this idea of thinking of seats of public office as family seats. And for this gal to change her tune in 8 days makes her seem untrustworthy. I don't like it. I think that the voters of South Carolina should say, who's got the record? How do we know anything about how they're going to vote, how they're going to work with others, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Now, I didn't have as much a problem with her being appointed to fill out the rest of the term. And I know we kind of got into it a little bit last week.
Yeah.
Because at least I feel like she's there and can vote on some of these policy issues, unlike what some other members of Congress and Senate are doing right now. But this is kind of strange, right, that all of a sudden her tune has changed so quickly. And that's because she got the endorsement from the president, and I think the second and third Republicans in the Senate, Thune hasn't put his name out there, but I think the second and third in command in the Senate have. So she's basically been pushed and maybe willingly into running for this term. But like you said, she doesn't have a whole lot of experience, and there are plenty of people running in South Carolina that seem to have that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about political experience. I'm talking about experience in the business world, experience, you know, something that can relevant, that can translate. I think it's presumptuous of her to do it. I think it was wrong for Trump to ask her to run for the full six-year term. I hope the voters of South Carolina see through it, because they have no idea what her actual beliefs are.
Well, no, and she seems to be what most conservatives have been railing against here in recent history. She's, and I didn't know much about her background, but she's worked for nearly 30 years in state public service, it says here, including commissioner of the South Carolina Commission for the Blind, comms director for Vocational Rehabilitation Department. I mean, that's kind of career government worker vibe, right?
Yeah. She's lucky she didn't get swept up by Doge. Hey, Quinn, thanks for your time, man. We'll talk to you again next week, all right?
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
You got it.
830 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We'll get to your texts and a whole lot more to get to right here on Mobile Mornings. 251-343-0106. That's the text line, but you can also give us a call here in this last half hour.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, 835 now on Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to the text line here in a minute, 251-343-0106. Seems like whichever side of the Darlene Graham conversation I'm on, I'm gonna catch some arrows. So
yeah,
read the latest here in just a minute, but first... Yeah. Want to check in with Sage Klingen. He's at Capital Tractor, that brand new location in Tillman's Corner. I mean, you can see the Kubota orange from the interstate. And if you're actually wanting to check the place out, they're right there behind the VA hospital and easy to get to there. Sage, an easy man to talk to as well once you make it to Capital Tractor. Good morning, man.
Man, how you doing this morning?
Hey, we are great, and I think everyone may be coming back to life a little bit after this big weekend we had, including down at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the 93rd ADSFR, and saw Capital Tractor set up down there, helping out a little bit as you do with the JCs, but talking to a lot of folks down at the island this weekend.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It was a good time. I feel like everybody's still moving, a little slow this week. Maybe get some pep in the step as the week goes on. But, no, it was a great time and just happy to be able to be there, experience it all, help out. And at the same time, congratulations also to everybody that maybe want a little bit of some change from the rodeo.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. And if you are moving a little bit slow for one reason or another, it always helps to have some great equipment from Capital Tractor to help you out. And you guys have some really great deals going on right now, including the summer sell-off continues. You have some big discounts on mowers.
Yeah, man, we got about 10 days left on our mower sell-off, from $750 to $2,000 off on select mowers. So if you've been interested in any mowers, now is definitely the time. Like I said, 10 days left in that.
Yeah, and while that inventory is still there and that 10 days left, need to get in if that's what you're thinking about. And speaking of mowers, too, let's talk about Diamond mowers. Those are a hot piece of equipment right now, too.
Yeah, they absolutely are. You know, Diamond mowers, from your excavators to your track loaders, they've got some great implements, and save up to $10,000 on select models on those. And that's anything from some brush cutters, disc mulchers, to, you know, 72-inch drum mulchers for your forestry applications. So we definitely got a good variety, and would be happy to talk to anybody about those.
Yeah, and those are really high-quality products, too, and you're able to service them at Capital Tractor. We talk about your service department, and I see people coming by all the time getting fixed up. Talk a little bit about your service department.
Yeah, absolutely. We service the Diamond mowers. See a lot of the mulchers and disc mulchers and brush cutters, you know, we can service that whole lineup. And we also have parts stocked for those, teeth, anything you're kind of needing. So be able to help you and get you back out there on the job as fast as you can.
Yeah, and if someone's interested in shopping and it's maybe your off hours, which are rare, or maybe they're waiting at work, biding their time, your website's really great too, capitaltractor.com. And people can check out a lot of those specials. It's right there under the sales tab online.
That's correct. Yeah, click on that sales tab and go to specials, and you'll see everything listed like you just mentioned. And at the same time, too, under that sales tab, we have our used inventory. So that's going to be used inventory across all five of our stores. Mm-hmm. So even if you see something that is at a different store, holler at us, and we can typically get something down here within a week.
Oh, great stuff. Hey, Sage, we appreciate your time this morning, and we'll check back in with you in a week.
All right, man. Sounds good. Appreciate y'all.
There you go. Sage Klingon from Capital Tractor, that new location in Tillman's Corner, one of five Capital locations across Alabama. And they're on Fellowship Drive, like I said, right there behind the new VA hospital in Tillman's Corner. You can't miss it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, our text line, 251-343-0106, if you want to get in on the conversation.
BA says that it isn't nepotism, talking about Darlene Graham, if the voters vote for her. Also, you've got a named texter talking about, hey, if you don't know her background, then don't make a comment. She's running the Department for the Blind. It is a much better experience in history than being a barista or bartender. I guess you're talking about Plattenhurst.
Yeah. So I think that texter, because I mentioned, you know, I didn't know a lot about Darlene Graham before Lindsey Graham's passing, and then she was appointed to take his place. I knew kind of the basics of the story, that his parents had died when he was just going into college, or just prior.
He was 22. He was in college.
So
she was 13, and he
took guardianship of
right,
her.
Exactly.
She was 13 years old. So like so many others, you know, I'm learning about Darlene Graham as we speak. But I will say, I am, and everyone is allowed to comment on what they think about anything. I just love how protective people get, and it's fine. It's great. But well, is this Darlene's other older brother, or what are we talking about here? If you don't know about her background, then don't make a comment. What I'm saying is, she is, and I had no problem, and I don't like Quinn's gatekeeping necessarily either. I mean, it seems like every politician that I bring up, he says, well, they don't have the experience. They don't know what it takes to be a senator in Washington. And I've disagreed with him vehemently on that time after time. I didn't have as much a problem with Darlene Graham being appointed to that position.
No, a week ago, you had no problem with that.
Because it's a shorter term.
Yeah.
And I thought that
she's going to vote.
If they appointed someone with a real shot at winning the election, that would be showing some favoritism going in. It'd give that person a boost up. And it made sense for me for them to kind of plug her into that role in the lineup in the meantime. But, you know, if she's going to earn the endorsement like she did of Trump and so many of these sitting senators and big names, then the deck is kind of loading in her favor.
It is. So
heading into the election.
That was my thought, too, is like, what is it? Is she bypassing the infrastructure of the Republican Party of South Carolina, or is she being boosted up by them? So I don't know enough about the story. It's just kind of breaking news. The other thing that the texter would like to maybe understand is we're up against time constraints and things like that. We're saying goodbye to Quinn. We're trying to get a thought out there. We've got the news rolling in at 90 miles an hour. It's coming one way or the other. We're just throwing darts around real quick to get to the break. Sometimes it's not the most thought out, you know.
Well, I mean, maybe going. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
there's
time constraints sometimes, but I have put thought into the Darlene Graham thing and my take.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, radio is different than texting us. Radio is live. We're moving, and you're comfortable with your take.
Yeah.
I get that, but the fact is that this is a show. It's to entertain. It's to provoke thought, and there's times that especially. You know, maybe I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
But just going into a break sometimes, I haven't formally. I'm just throwing something out there quick, and then we'll discuss it on the other end.
You can lose context because of time constraints sometimes, too. But yeah, we also have plenty of time to talk, in this segment. And I guess my point is, I didn't like a lot of Lindsey Graham's style as senator anyway. I thought he was way too much of a hawk. I was actually pleasantly surprised to learn, if the reports are true, that his net worth never really grew like so many that we see in Congress and in the U.S. Senate. And I was kind of giggling yesterday when you were talking about Paul Pelosi, who described himself as a venture capitalist. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's capitalizing on his wife's position in government and making these trades. That's the venture that he is running right now, but he's not alone. And so it was actually really surprising to me that Lindsey Graham hasn't been making bank off a lot of these defense companies or whatever the reason is that he's wanted to be involved in so many of these foreign wars. I don't know if Darlene holds those same sentiments regarding whether the United States should be more isolationist or more involved in the world order or not.
I can tell you that there's a story on Fox this morning. Well, I guess she talked to Hannity, and that's when she made the announcement. I may have that right, but during that interview, then she said, and by the way, you didn't know this, but
bomb Iran.
I want to run.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to. But she says she's going to be more focused on the citizens of South Carolina, mm-hmm. the needs of the citizens rather than foreign affairs.
Right.
So Lindsey's one thing. She wasn't saying she's going to be in opposition to everything that Lindsey Graham stood for. All she said in the interview more or less was that I'm going to be more focused on the things that are right in front of me that I understand better.
But it's also interesting, too, how quickly narratives can change when it fits your team that you're supporting, right? Because the whole Trump movement, the basis around what Trump's movement was built around a decade plus ago was that there are too many career government operatives that are running America, and the whole game is to get into a leadership position in the government and never let that go, and say whatever you need to say to get elected, say whatever you need to stay to remain elected, and then make as much money as you can in the meantime, while in many ways deceiving the American people or the people that you've been chosen to represent.
Sure.
That was what the Trump administration, that's what Trump ran on, was draining the swamp. And there's going to be arguments till the end of time of whether he did a good enough job of that or anywhere close to a good enough job of draining the swamp of these career government bureaucrats. But when you mention Katie Britt and Tommy Tuberville, like the same texter has that said, I can't talk about Darlene Graham. And you say, well, what about them? They're not experienced either. You know, well, you didn't say that about Katie Britt. You note that she was with the BCA
He minimized
her qualifications.
Yeah, he did. And Tuberville, he says, it's an old football coach. Legit.
But Tuberville was kind of that exact mold that conservatives, or at least MAGA conservatives, were looking for in a candidate. Someone who has some experience in leadership, whether it's business or on the football field like he does. Some experience in speaking publicly, which Tuberville clearly has plenty of, or at least someone who's good at speaking to the public. I think that's a pre-qualification. But what Republicans have wanted and have said they've wanted are someone who hasn't been a government worker for their entire lives. And just reading up on Darlene Graham, it seems that that's exactly what she's been. And I don't know if she's gotten cushy positions because of her relationship with her brother, Lindsey Graham, who I think some would argue was maybe the most powerful person in South Carolina.
I would say for the last 20 years, he has been.
And, you know, maybe she is a saint and she was the commissioner of the Department for the Blind. That's great. But you can't say that that qualifies her when the entire last 10, 15 years you've been saying we don't want more people who have been born and raised and worked in government their entire lives to run this system. It's exactly the opposite of what MAGA has wanted for the last 10 years.
And there are people on the left, too, that will tell you, will say very much out loud, you're talking about cleaning up the swamp, and there are many, many on the left that will tell you Trump's been profiting the whole time he's been in office.
Mm-hmm.
That is it true? I don't know. You know, but they cite examples where Trump himself, the businessman he is, and the business IQ he's got with his, you know, sons and
the whole crypto thing has made it really interesting too.
That's the latest, but that's only the latest. So anyway, there's been arguments of is he cleaning the swamp? Is he draining the swamp, or is he playing the game himself?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You can ask that question. Billy D. says, I'm at the point with our politicians that I think no past history is a positive. Yeah, because, you know, there's going to be complaints one way or the other, mm-hmm. whatever your history. So maybe we just need a 3D printed candidate for every, like, oh, a brand new fresh person who's 35 years old and ready to lead America and has no history. I guess would be the perfect candidate, right? Texter here says, wake up. Graham is going to be the puppet for the same people her brother built his career on. This is not America first. Michael says, don't forget that we also have the former Representative Jerry Carl running for District 1, who has stated he supports importing more cheap foreign labor for farmers and skilled blue-collar trades. When he stated that on Sean's show back in the spring, it cemented why he's unfit to represent Alabamians and confirmed he's just another big business Republican shill. That is what Michael has to say here this morning. Pat texting in, get out of here with all that crap, guys. Trump was the furthest thing away from having qualifications to be any kind of political figure, let alone president. So now I don't know what you're arguing against or not. You know, Trump, I think, had the perfect kind of experience for the message that he was pushing. He was a rich businessman who did a really good job of connecting with the American people and did not have a past of just working in D.C. every single day of his life.
No.
So Trump was, I think, in my mind, completely qualified to run for president.
Well, I would agree with that. And I don't think I'd thought it at the time. So that was 2015 when it all went down, right? When he came in the elevator, and then he mobile, and off he goes.
Right.
And I don't know that I was comfortable at the time with it, but when you look at what he has done, I would say the biggest mistake he's made to this point appears to be Iran. With Iran, I was kind of like, when it all began, I'm thinking, well, if we have this wounded animal in a spot where the Pentagon thinks we can take them out, they were the last thing in the Middle East that was really just junking the whole place up.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of the Arab states kind of coming around, like with their business wise, and also with Israel, that things were seen to be softening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, if you can take it out, if you can normalize Iran at this point, probably a good idea.
Yeah.
And again, to this point, it looks like it's not gone along the plan.
No, and it kind of seems like they're stuck in a cycle at this point,
yeah,
where they really want to get out.
And the messaging, again, has been really poor. I mean, it's just been him just taking us on this ride of up and down, and now we're going to negotiate, now we're not, and now we're going to bomb. I mean, that's just maddening for anybody to go on, and he's taken not just us, but any international observers along, and at this point now, a lot of Americans and or international citizens even are simply not listening to what he says, because it's probably going to change in 24 hours.
Yeah. We also talked a lot about NATO earlier with Quinn. Texter here said, Europe was buying Russian energy after the invasion in 2014. I didn't hear NATO talking about anything else. They would buy millions in energy and throw a few pennies to Ukraine while they didn't meet their financial obligations as written by NATO. Yeah, and that continued, right? Buying energy from Russia. And in the meanwhile, basically doing everything but raising up arms against Russia.
Yeah, and so now you've got, you know, NATO trying to answer the bell as far as what Trump has told them to do in terms of, you know, contributing. Germany looks like the one country, maybe the best example of the country stepping up. And I guess you would say Spain's in last place as far as that's concerned, right? I mean, they're
last place in
being
NATO, first place in the World Cup.
Exactly. Right? I was thinking about that. Like, pretty damn good at soccer.
Yeah,
I'm really upset with what they're doing.
In international affairs?
Yes, yes, yes.
852, more Mobile Mornings on the way. 251-343-0106.
Can you guess that band? Can you guess that band on the text line? Very well-known band. Their tribute to Darlene Graham.
They feel a certain way about Darlene Graham, don't they?
They do. They have a history. Not Darlene Graham. Whatever Darlene they're darlening about, they like her a lot.
Yeah. Name that band.
Name that band.
Mobile Mornings. 251-343-0106. Coming up, Jeff Poor Show. He's going to have State Representative Chris Blackshear on in hour number one. I saw Michael texting about former Congressman Jerry Carl. He will be joining Jeff just after 10:30 this morning. And in hour number three, Will Hampson with P2 Public Affairs. A Will Hampson who used to work in the office of
Nancy Mace.
Nancy Mace, who is running for senator in South Carolina. Same office that Darlene Graham is running for.
Wow. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
251-343-0106. Also, of course, you know, we'll follow this throughout the week. Doesn't appear to be too much to worry about unless you make your living out on the water. But Tropical Storm, oh, what's her name?
Bertha.
Bertha, thank you.
Yeah.
Almost called her Darlene. For one reason or another. But Tropical Storm Bertha, mostly some coastal effects for us. Dr. Bill was telling us a couple times this morning, going to be looking at rip currents, going to be looking at some high surf and the issues that come from that. You know, Dan played Dauphin Island Mayor Jeff Collier earlier, just letting the folks know on the island, hey, be ready. We've been through this before. Looks like Louisiana, who knows how badly they're going to catch it, but of course they jut so much further south into the Gulf of America.
They'll catch the rain.
Kind of going right at them.
Yeah, Houndstooth from Mobile says Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm.
That was correct.
Correctamundo.
So we were talking about, like, just during the break, we were throwing it around, like, let's see, Darlene. Certainly there was a country band that made a song like Elvira with Oak Ridge Boys. And then Dalton finds a song by called Darlene, and it's Zeppelin.
Yeah, hell of a riff, too.
I like it
about
a lot.
That?
We might move that into the old rotation right there.
We might have to, yeah. And, I say let the voters of South Carolina decide. That's what you need to do.
Sure.
And that's where I stand on it. And tell you where we stand on plenty more things. Tomorrow morning, 251-343-0106. Or more importantly, what I care about, where you stand on the topics we're discussing. And you can let Jeff Poor hear that as well. Text line works just the same for his show.
Thanks for all the texts, too, about caffeine intake. And that was a lot of fun this morning. 859 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Back with you tomorrow at 6.